the issue of young people going into farming. And it has been an issue for a very long time in Irish agriculture, but the situation is now more serious than ever, because at the moment, only a sliver of farms are owned and run by young people. We're talking about 7% under the age of 35 years. And it's a real worry, because without young people, of course, farming is starved of fresh energy and new ideas. It's a bit like a sector that's leaving its best potential players on the bench. Luckily, there's plenty of public money available to try and fix this, mainly through the EU's Common Agricultural Policy. And late last year, the then Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConlogue, decided to set up a commission to look at the issue and to come up with new ideas to get more young people in. And that report from the commission is due in the next few weeks. We thought it was a right time to talk a bit more about it. Well, I'm delighted to say with me in the studio is Owen Lowry, Head of Agriculture in the Bank of Ireland, and Alice Doyle, Deputy President of the Irish Farmers Association. Good morning, Owen. Good morning, Alice. Owen, you came from Laois this morning, the farm?
Good morning, Ella. Yeah, we did. Good weather down there today and lots of combines ready to go if the weather holds up.
I see that there's a bit of a front coming in the west of Ireland. Alice, you came from Wexford. It's nice down there as well.
That's right, Ella. Came up from Wexford this morning. Just finished second cut silage yesterday and getting ready for the harvest as well. We hope by the end of next week we should be into the harvest. We're a little bit behind the Laois guys. You know?
Well, listen, we're gonna have a chat about all the issues, and there are many of them, but obviously the conversation has to include young farmers themselves. And so over the past week, I have spoken to a number of them. I'm very grateful to all of them who took my call. And so we want to hear their experiences, their stories. So you're going to hear four stories from young Irish farmers. And this issue can be extremely difficult to talk about. So the first story you hear is voiced by an actor.
My father inherited the farm in the 1980s. Dad was the only one who wanted to take it over. My grandfather had a few out farms, but there was never a conversation about who would inherit them. He passed away and he had lots of children, but there was never succession, and all the kids then wanted a piece of it, which led to a massive family fallout. None of us speak to each other anymore as a direct result of the conflict. So much fighting about who should get it. It was a family nightmare. My grandmother at the time got extremely upset about it. She kept saying that she was sorry she didn't push for my grandfather to have the conversation about the next generation. But we are a classic example of what happens when that conversation doesn't happen. You end up falling out with half your family. It took a severe toll on everyone. We walked away because the family turmoil got so toxic. After it happened, we came up with a succession plan on our own farm. We got our farm in order so we never have to go through that family fallout scenario again. Unfortunately, it's extremely common in the farming community. Everyone either knows someone or has gone through it themselves. Land doesn't come up, and when it does, the prices are astronomical. As a young farmer, they are at such a disadvantage because access to land is difficult. My aunts and uncles never showed any interest in the farm until my grandfather passed away. Then they were all for it. It was easy money for them. I don't think we will ever rebuild the family relationships. Too much damage has been done.
I farm and I'm 26 years old. My father and my mother bought the farm about 35 years ago. So I was kind of born into the farming and I've been helping out ever since, especially like, you know, through the teenage years, things like that. So I did my green cert then about 2 years ago because I was hoping that it would kind of give my parents a bit more of a push to kind of let me take over a bit of responsibility on the farm. Although Dad says that he isn't interested anymore, he still pretty much dictates everything that happens. Shortly after doing the green cert, I did broach the subject of inheritance, or just even for them to make a will, just so I know what's kind of happening. I was pretty much just shut down. There's just a lot of uncertainty with it. I'm kind of torn between knowing that the farm needs me, and obviously I want to keep farming. It's obviously nothing to do with money, but it's just the love of the farming. But then I'm also, on the other hand, wondering if there's any point in me putting in the time and the effort and money into it. You know, and I know it's a hard thing to let go of. It's not a case that I would kick them out off the farm or anything like that. It's just a bit of security for me just to know what's happening, if there's any point in me putting time and effort into the farm. They won't even talk about the future. It's a difficult enough situation. I think there's quite a few people my age that are in that situation, that they want to carry on the farm. They love the farming. They just can't see any future ahead of them in farming because there's just so many obstacles in their way. on the other hand, then I couldn't bear seeing it sold and seeing it in someone else's hands and, you know, whatever someone else might do with it, whether it's sell it for sites, things like that. It's causing me so much stress and worry, I suppose. It's not going to be those small family farms. It's all going to be bigger enterprises, and there just won't be any young farmers getting into farming anymore.
My name is Sean Kelly. I'm a 32-year-old dairy farmer farming in Killarwan, Nina, North Tipperary, farming alongside my mother and father, Margaret and Patrick. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal, but I'm probably like the ideal kind of scenario for young people coming through in farming. When I got into the partnership with my father, everything we decided to do, we did it alongside one another. Anything that I wanted to do, we talked about it. We had an open discussion about what we wanted to do. We talked about the pros. We talked about the cons. The biggest thing and the thing I'm most grateful for was that I was given the opportunity to try new things. Even when we fail at things, it was never a thing of being spoken down to. The minute we're in the transition now of signing the farm over, but like, look, even though we're signing the farm over into my name, the only thing that's going to change is the name on the farm. We're all working together as a team. We're all working as one for the benefit of the family and benefit of the farm. For every young person between the ages of, we'll say, 17 to 21, 22, that's kind of like when they decide on their career path what they're going to do. It was essential to me that I had that clarity. I knew exactly where I stood with the whole situation because we had that discussion. It gave me kind of great security as well, knowing that I was doing that alongside my mother and father, that we were all working together. We were all working towards the common goal. I honestly don't know whether I would have went into farming if we didn't have that conversation. I couldn't imagine doing another job. Like, I love working outdoors. I love working with the animals. The community involvement as well. Like, look, we're extremely fortunate that we have like young organizations like Machrana Firma, who are, look, there's a lot of young farmers in that as well who, you know, you meet great people and great friends as well. We've been fighting hard for a young generation, but unfortunately we haven't seen that come through at government level. We haven't seen the supports come through for young farmers.
My name is Michelle Donnelly. I bought a farm in Fannad and Donegal with my husband back in 2020. I'm now 30, so I was 25 at the time, and we farm on 14 acres. We have a mixed regenerative system. We have pasture-raised hens, forest-raised traditional breed pork. We have Dexter beef, a polytunnel and a market garden. Now, I am originally from Derry, grew up in the city, no farming background. The hurdles for us to get into this space and to get our own land were incredible. It was next to impossible to get our farm. We essentially sold our souls to get to where we are. So we sold everything we had, borrowed a lot of money off family members. The system does not make it easy at all for non-farmers to come in. And I think that's quite possibly an understatement. We have 14 acres and there's a small bungalow on the site. Whenever we went to finance, our only option was to get a mortgage on two of those acres. That was the best that we could do with any banks. The other 12, we had to come up with the cash. To get an agricultural loan, you have to have a farm. So you have to have a farm to get a farm. It just does not support non-farmers coming into the system. And, you know, we need fresh sets of eyes coming into farming for farming to have a future in Ireland. We need to make it easier for young non-farmers to come in, and we need to have a system that supports the pre-existing farmers. The most predominant way that people are farming at the minute is you have a family farm and it gets passed down. But even that in itself is dying out because it's an undervalued profession. Anything about agriculture, it's agriculture is the problem. Farmers are the problem, but they're also the solution. When the right changes are made, the proof is in the pudding that, you know, it is a viable financial option. It is a viable career. Financial supports should not be so hard to come by. All we want to do is produce nutrient-dense, chemical-free food. It shouldn't be as difficult as what it is being made for us. I just would like to see more support. We should be able to produce our food, sell our food at a decent price, build a community around our farms again, and support our families and support our communities.
The voices there of Michelle Donnelly, Sean Kelly and two other young farmers. And thank you all. Thank all of them for sharing their stories. You can hear their enthusiasm, their energy, but also the massive barriers that are in place. And in a minute, we're going to get into some of the potential solutions with Owen Lowry, Head of Agriculture in Bank of Ireland, and Alice Doyle, Deputy President of the IFA, who have been nodding their heads a lot when listening to the young people there. But before we do, we're just going to hear briefly about what other European countries are doing to tackle this issue. Because across Europe, the situation is the same. Only 11% of farms are owned by people under the age of 40. And of them, a mere 3% are women. Well, earlier I spoke to journalist Lauren Lewis. She recently wrote an in-depth piece on this. And I began by asking her why there are so many barriers for young people who want to farm.
If you're not from a farming community or a farming family, it's really difficult to get into the industry. You need to invest in not only the land, but also the farming infrastructure, the equipment, and then you've got to set up a financially viable business, which is increasingly difficult in today's farming world. And we also see that farming is traditionally poorly paid and is also an unstable job, you know, affected by the climate, affected by the weather, which is ever changing and isn't, you can't control it. And the job involves long hours and physical labour. And we're seeing more and more movement towards increasing numbers of young people going to university, that they're getting jobs in offices in cities. And this kind of lifestyle just simply doesn't seem to be appealing necessarily because of the barriers that you have to overcome to get there.
And you have argued in your piece that this means that we're more likely to see consolidation of land and an increase in industrialised monoculture farming.
Yes, exactly. The number of farms in Europe has been in steady decline in recent decades and sort of the last 20 to 30 years. But the amount of land under production has actually remained steady. And the reason for that is because we're seeing more and more farms get bigger. For young farmers who are already have a sort of one foot in the profession, what they're seeing is when they see these industrial scale holdings that have very slim profit margins, they're seeing that as a massive undertaking to take on. And they're left with the question of why not go and get a job in the city and do something that feels more stable rather than taking on this absolutely massive project. For young people who aren't involved in farming already, this is another barrier to entry, because to get up the money to try and buy something as big as the farms that might be on sale is just prohibitive, which just means that the industry gets closed off for young people.
There is a lot of public money poured into agriculture across Europe. The Common Agriculture Policy takes up about a third of the EU budget. So policymakers have a chance here to direct the money towards supporting younger farmers. Are there good examples that you've come across in European countries of how this is being done?
There's loads of good examples of how this money is being distributed to young farmers to try and get them into farming. We have in Finland, there is a government scheme where young farmers who are under 41 can get money towards helping them get started. They must be starting a farm for the first time, and they must have some kind of education in farming or management of natural resources. We then have over in Italy, what is called a land generation initiative gives funds to young people to farm state land. It's for experienced farmers younger than 41 and can help them buy land up to a value of 1.5 million euros. It's also for inexperienced farmers who are under 35 and offers them loans of up to 500,000 euro to help fund agricultural degrees, buy farmland and then start new farming projects. Over in France, we've got a couple of schemes. The first one is a SAFER scheme. It's called SAFER. It's a non-governmental organisation. It was founded in sort of the 1960s. It supports farmers by buying land and reselling to the best bidder rather than the highest one. And this prevents what we talked about earlier, when a farm has no succession plan and sells off the land, which can be bought by nearby farmers and subsumed into their farms or redeveloped. This scheme prevents that because it takes that land and it gives it to potentially a young farmer who's interested in starting their own holding. And also young farmers who want to focus on regenerative agriculture and protecting the environment. So it's trying to really safeguard against the farms being sold off to large holdings, which then use industrialised monoculture. In Switzerland, we have, rather than a scheme directly aimed at young people getting involved in farming, the government simply says we will not give direct farm payments to over 65s. It's to focus on incentivising older farmers to make succession plans and to hand over their business to the next generation of farmers. And finally, we have Romania. We have Young Leaders in Agriculture Scheme, which is where young farmers can access money through startup grants. Those startup grants can finance projects on their farms to improve them or help them start a smallholding themselves. They're primarily aimed for young people who already work in or around farms, or their family owns a farm and they want to stay in the sector. But it is still doing something to get young people involved in the sector and taking a front-facing and leading role in the business.
Lauren Lewis there with the view from Europe. With me in studio is Owen Lowry, Head of Agriculture in Bank of Ireland, and Alice Doyle, Deputy President of the IFA. Owen and Alice, where do we start? The thing that I got from last week, from during the week talking to young people, was it's kind of tragic in many ways that there isn't a lack of interest, Alice. There isn't a shortage of young people. There are loads of young people who want to continue farming. There are loads of young people who want to get into farming for the first time. It's just that the barriers are so big and so immense that they're kind of not being allowed to.
Very interesting listening to those young people, and encouraging in a way insofar as they are enthusiastic, but they also identified the barriers and maybe how we could maybe deal with some of those. You know, that young lady from Donegal, I think, was the one that caught my attention, that she said farming is still a very attractive place to be, but it's undervalued. And I think that's really important to see, because going into farming, there are a number of things that stop young people going into farming. And I think the first one is probably the unviability of it, unfortunately, at the moment, in the sense of financial unviability. That the Chagas report recently showed that, you know, the average farm income is well below the average industrial wage. And in an economy where we have full employment, lots of, you know, options for young people to go, they may want to go into farming, but it's not financially viable for them. And if we had an income, they would go. But
we should say there, in fairness, the average income for a dairy farmer last year was €108,000. So dairying is very profitable.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's one that young people are getting into. But other sectors not so.
Exactly, I should have said that, you know, the dairy sector is the only sector that is showing an income above the average industrial wage, but then there's only a limited number of people can get into that as well. But I think when we look at the whole idea of why people are not going in, the biggest number of people who can go into farming are people who are in farms already, and what are the barriers stopping them? And I think it's, as three of the four people mentioned, it's having that conversation, making that decision in time to bring the young person in, that you can stop the arguments, you can stop by having a will made, by identifying your successor in time. You can bring the successor in gradually. It doesn't mean you have to hand over the farm all in one go, which was the old way of doing it. You know, father, mother signed out, hand over. I don't think that's going to happen today, because it's not viable for the older farmer to get out, you know, and
so
hand
the word
over
transition comes in there.
That's the word I think is very, very important. We need to have this transition where there is a phase where the young person is brought in gradually and the older person is let out gradually. Because there is, as one of your contributors said, huge amount of knowledge that person has to share with the younger person coming in. And we do have lots of opportunity in this country for that if it was discussed in time around partnerships, around shared farming and getting our young people in. But if we make it viable for the older people to get out gradually and bring the younger person in, I think we can have that. But having that conversation, identifying your successor, making sure that you look at the legal and financial implications for both sides, I think you will get younger people in time.
And Sean Kelly, I think, was the good example of that, where it sounds like exactly what has happened on his farm is what needs to happen across farms in Ireland. We're on 51551 for any of your texts. Owen, a 300 cow unit needs €1 million in investment. I think that's fair to say. How likely would you be to lend to a young farmer who comes along and says, I want to do this, but they aren't the owner of the farm?
Yeah, so what I'd say at the outset is we have a very strong appetite in Bank of Ireland to bank the agri sector. It is a key sector for us. It is our largest economic sector across the bank, and we bank 82,000 farmers on a day-to-day basis. And it goes without saying that we all know that generation renewal and young farmers are key to the prosperity of any sector, and including agriculture. We therefore have a very strong appetite to bank those type of farmers that you talk to come in and talk to us, particularly in economically viable farm businesses.
But if a young farmer comes to you and says, listen, I'm ready to go, but they're not the owner of the farm and there hasn't been that transition, would you give them that money?
First of all, we have to ensure there's repayment capacity. That's what we need to ensure. whether that is, and that's independent of the age of the farmer. But I suppose we have an appetite to encourage the conversation, and we do encourage that conversation across kitchen tables around the country when we visit farms, to include the younger generation in that.
So you need security. I mean, if you're going to give a young farmer $1 million, you need to know that that young farmer isn't in some sort of family dispute.
So first of all, it's within our policy to lend to that farmer. The second piece, do we have the products, right? So we can lend right now to a farmer on 120,000 unsecured. So that's a significant amount of a loan, given the average farm income of about 33,000 euros. That's about four times their income. If it's a particular dairy farm and they're involved in that farm business with their through either a partnership or there's a succession plan in place for that business, we can lend through other schemes such as the SBCI scheme up to 500,000 to those new entrant farmers.
That's the Strategic Banking Corporation of Ireland, is government-backed.
Yeah. So that effectively guarantees banks, and it's the banks such as Bank of Ireland, we operate that on behalf of SBCI, and we provide the loans to the farmers.
Alice, I just wonder, that there's a bit of a carrot and stick here, isn't there? In Switzerland, they don't get farm subsidies over the year at the age of 65. Is that something that really we should be looking at?
If you look at the Swiss situation, it's somewhat different than what it is here in Ireland. For example, the Swiss situation suggests that you take away all direct payments after, it says you take away all direct payments at 65, so the farmer hasn't that income, so he's going to have to move out of farming. But in Ireland here, we have a situation where, you know, at 65, you are not obliged to retire. In Switzerland, you are obliged to retire if you take away that retirement. Here, we're not obliged to retire at 65, so therefore you're entitled to continue to farm. So you're entitled to draw down any payments that you're in, you know, you need. But I do see where, you know, there is room for example, like the Austrian situation. In the Austrian situation, where they gradually ask the farmer to, they give him a pension at 60, and they say you can stay involved in farming, but you must hand over the control of the farm. You can own the farm, but you must hand over the control of the farm to the young person. And I think that's really important, because then you have both generations involved, but you're giving the older person an income to help them to get out on the other side, and you're encouraging the young person to come in, and they also get supports to come in. And here we have direct supports coming in to young farmers through the young farmer establishment schemes. And but we, what we do need is now on the other side is that little bit of the carrot to get the person to move on without using the stick. The old retirement scheme was a stick, beat the farmer, said you can't take part.
And without using that retirement word as well, because that's like exactly. Oil on the flames, isn't it?
It's not a retirement scheme we should be talking about. It's a succession scheme is what we should be talking about. And I think, you know, the commissioner was over with us in January, the new commissioner, Commissioner Hansen, and he clearly said that he was looking at that Austrian scheme. He had been there and he had looked at it, and he was thinking about how maybe that might be used. And that could come in under the new cap, where we would get support to get the young farmer in and to gradually get succession for the older person.
And Owen, just briefly to finish up, we got a text here saying small sustainable farms are the way forward. We heard there from Michelle Donnelly, the system does not make it easy for non-farmers to get in. We can't forget here, there is a real interest from non-farmers, but getting finance, just briefly on that, getting finance sounds almost impossible.
Well, I don't think the problem here is about access to finance. And I hear Michelle's piece. I think what this is about is why we have a large cohort of people who are actively involved in farming through their families, who want to get into farming. But we also have another cohort of people who are not involved in farming today but want to get into it. So that a conversation needs to be had at policy level around how do we attract in and make it attractable for those to come into to farming. As I said, we can lend up to 120,000 to non-farmers who want to get into farming today. That is possible. We lend every day to people who have off-farm incomes, who want to buy some land or want to get involved in farming, and that's part of our policy.
Okay, well listen, we're going to keep an eye on the Commission for Generational Renewal. That report is due out soon from the Department of Agriculture. For now, thank you most importantly to all the young people for sharing their stories with us this morning, and also to Owen Lowry and Alice Doyle. Thank you both so much for coming in this morning. We'll take a break.